You ask a parent which one of their kids is their favorite,
yeah,
and they're going to say, I love all my kids equally.
Yeah, that's the standard, don't get me in trouble.
They're liars!
Yes.
You have a favorite kid.
Mm-hmm.
But who your favorite kid is may not have anything to do with age, what position they are in birth order, or how hardworking they are.
So what is it?
Based on this, it all comes down to which one keeps her mouth shut.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Tommy?
Yep.
A new study on parenting revealed what makes a child the favorite child to parents. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with who was born first or last. There is no data that suggests boy or girl makes a difference.
Yeah.
But there is one factor in this study that showed up over and over and over again.
Yeah.
For parents with more than one child, consistently, they said their most introverted child.
The quiet one.
Yep. Was their favorite.
Well, we're out. Out. You out.
Well, is that just because they're maybe more low maintenance than the
Not
other
a problem.
Kids?
I mean, it's a good question.
They don't bring a lot of drama. Yeah.
So they don't get in the study as to why that happened. But the study showed that outgoing, loud kids with big personalities were almost never ranked as the favorite kid. And the quieter.
You talked yourself out of first place, kid.
But the quieter the kid was out of the house, the more the parents ranked them as their favorite. Has anybody ever heard of this before?
No.
No. I always thought it had to do more with like rankings.
Or what you brought to the table.
Or like, I'm sorry, like who came first? Order of children.
Well, what do you mean what you bring to the table?
Well, like, you know, if you hit those points of parental pride that you see in a kid, you know, the achiever kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? More than the kid than the slack ass.
I don't know. Like, you talk to some achiever kids, they get very resentful of their siblings that have not, quote, accomplished more because parents pay more attention to them trying to push them along.
Well, I'm saying, but I thought that kid would be the favorite.
Yeah, but not
the
every
kid that became the Eagle Scout, the college graduate, got a job, you know, didn't always save his money.
Well,
you know,
if he's an Eagle Scout, he's probably introverted too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So I don't know, like something, you got to bring something to the table.
But I could see there being tension with that kid that's more driven, more accomplished. Right. You know what I mean? Because they may think they know more than you, or like they're just maybe more like butting heads because, you know, they have a little bit more independence or a different view of things.
That's a good take. Phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. With this study suggesting that the most introverted child is the favorite child, does that hold true? Did it happen with you and your siblings? Is it happening right now with your kid? And by the way, if you don't want your kid to hear which one's the favorite, you can change your name, your kid. Yeah. But your kid shouldn't be listening to this anyway, you terrible parents.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you obviously not the favorite, Tommy.
No, because I'm trying to think like the power ranking in my family, my brothers and sisters, and it almost kind of goes in order of birth because like my oldest brother became a college graduate and he did postgraduate work, had a great career. My other brother, it took him 3.5 years to go to junior college.
He was on the doctorate plan.
Yeah. And then my sister was a disaster that cost my father hundreds of thousands of dollars, and then me. So and it would have to be my brother, because that's what my father thought a successful man looked like.
Well, let me ask you a question. Mm. Did the children get quieter as the, louder as the age?
Oh, they got louder.
Okay, so there you go. It also comes
My sister was loud. I mean, she was... Had nothing to say, but man, was she loud about it.
No, I heard the story about how you heard her banging in the room next door when you were living in her house.
Yeah, well, she had something to say that night.
Again.
Oh, yeah, she was bro.
It's your sister, bro. I was making a joke. What are you doing? What are
you doing? I was surprised her feet didn't get tied up in the ceiling fan.
All right.
Kimmy.
Yep.
Who is the more introverted in your family, you or your brother?
I don't probably...
You run your mouth all the time.
I'm trying to think. Like,
run.
As a kid, though, I was a really, really shy kid. But I always assumed that the oldest child was never the favorite, especially the more siblings you have.
Oh.
Because your parents become more focused on the younger ones. Like, you kind of get passed off to other people because your parents are busy with, like, the baby or the youngest, taking care of the youngest.
So you got to start doing side parenting.
So, like, I always kind of felt like...
Yeah, that too.
And maybe that makes you the favorite, but I kind of always assumed, like, the baby of the family was always perceived to be the favorite.
Okay, you know, it's funny. Like, you have two people in a room here, right? Yeah. You are arguing the oldest is the favorite in your situation. You, Kimmy, are arguing the oldest is never the favorite.
Yeah, because they have a little bit more... independence than the younger ones, just because again, like, you're probably spending more time away from your parents at a younger age because they're just busy with your other siblings.
All right, if you had to guess between you and your brother, who was the favorite?
I'm as an oldest child, I'm gonna say my brother because he was the younger one.
Okay. And he's very successful.
Yeah, he's far more successful. Yeah,
he has chickens.
He raises chickens.
Yeah, no, I got
good
the
job, for sport. Good salary.
Division One lacrosse.
Oh, I forgot about
master's
that.
Degree.
Handsome kid, too.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
He got the family looks.
I enjoy talking to him.
Yeah. Interesting cat.
You want my mommy to call him up? He can replace me.
Yeah. I got him on my phone.
He makes too much money at his job.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. A new study suggests that the most introverted child, and that is the only factor, is what makes your favorite kid, or what made your siblings the favorite to your parents.
Oh, man. I know who's the favorite in your family.
Who is it?
You know who it is,
too. Tell me who you think.
Introverted, sensitive, good person, good job.
Yep. Yeah.
Steady Eddie. Mm-hmm. It's your brother, Ryan.
Ryan was always a favorite, without question.
And
no,
he's a sensitive, good person.
When he comes into the office now, he's the favorite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, people look forward to his appearances.
Like, my wife loves Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan's great. Fantastic, Ryan. No, like,
Look, a new Duffy. A better Duffy.
New and improved.
Yeah.
No, like, when I saw this study the other day, a light bulb went off. Because it's my brother Ryan. My brother Ryan was the favorite. He was always the more introverted. He was always the more sensitive. He was always the more kind.
And he looks like that guy that keeps the peace. Like, he just wants everybody to get along. He looks like somebody that would, like, try to, like, bridge the gap between two relatives.
He's that guy.
Kissinger.
He's very anti-conflict, yes. Unless it's with me.
What?
I thought you were going to do Kissinger as my brother.
I couldn't figure it out.
Growing up, too.
We go loudmouth. Hey, here's a setup for a joke. Yeah, I don't feel like it.
Let me tell you something, Patrick.
Shut up. No, it's too late. We're done. Now you're doing Drago from Rocky IV.
Mr. President.
I also think that the younger one tends to get picked on more, which is why I would think that
a
parent's going to favor the younger one because they just feel bad. They're constantly getting picked on by their other siblings.
And that's you. You do nothing but pick on your siblings.
Oh, my God. What?
You pick on your... You have picked on your siblings while you're doing live ads.
You do the jokes about my siblings, about how busted my family is. They can't get credit to buy cars. You said that.
You actually did an impression of your sister buying a car at I.
Okay, as we're trying to go through the logic of why the more introverted child would be the favorite child, the only weird thing about this.
What?
Your kids are a reflection of you. At least a lot of parents think they are.
Sure.
And if you have an outgoing kid at a young age, I've always looked at kids like that as kids who are comfortable with themselves.
Yeah.
And I always see, when I see kids that are outgoing, like, make eye contact, talk, handshakes, easy to... I always think, wow, that mom and dad did a really great job instilling that in them. That is a great advertisement for the love and confidence that their parents gave them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I would have thought like that... Being like, look at all what my work has done.
Okay.
Would be something you would, I guess, treasure more is the wrong way. Like, go like, see what we did?
But you might look at the kid that's quiet, that he's a little bit more confident. Doesn't have to oversell it. He's more sure of himself. Doesn't have to be braggadocious.
Okay.
Suck all the energy or the air out of a room when he walks in.
Okay, you shut up. Shut up.
The strong, silent type, basically.
No, but you can be confident.
The quiet man.
You can be confident, not arrogant. There's
a fine line there, though, and I think it's hard to...
And your family ain't got that fine line.
What?
There ain't no fine line in the Duffy household. Oh, my God. You light that line like a fuse.
Wait, you look at a 12, 13-year-old kid that walks up to you, makes eye contact, talks to you, has a good personality, is an
arrogant
kid. You're
not immediately suspicious of that kid?
Oh, if he's trying to date my daughter, yes. If it's just another kid, no. I think I'm impressed by that.
To Kimmy's point, there's a fine line of that kid. If it gets to be too much... Then he turns into the other kid.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. We've been rambling.
Yeah.
Folks have been waiting patiently. Let's talk to Angelina. Hello, Angelina.
Hi, how are you?
Good, what do you
got? Ain't the favorite, honey.
What did she do to you?
I can hear it in her voice.
So I have an older brother, 2 years older, and he was the super achiever and super polite, sir, ma'am, and he was always the favorite. I would say a little bit more introverted than me. And then once we hit, like, high school age, where it got down to, like, having your own life and stuff, it totally flipped, and now I'm the favorite totally.
Okay, what makes you think you are the favorite now, Angelina?
Because when it comes to, like, being there for family and, like, showing up to functions, I'm much more, like, outgoing there with my family, where now my brother, he has, like, a really good job, he's super busy, and he kind of does his own thing, and because he's on the more introverted side, he stays home a lot more. So now that it's, like, we're all kind of grown up. I'm there more for my family, and it totally flipped.
I could see that happening in a family, because now your parents are looking at it like, who's going to take care of me?
Okay.
Okay, but right. you're not there because you want to be there. You're kind of there because that's your option. Like, your brother's busy. You run two dart leagues, and you haven't. You're calling a radio station at 7:15. You haven't even shaved your legs yet.
She got three jobs.
You got three jobs by the airport, but you don't ever go to the airport. You know six different people that have been to Mexico, but you've never been there yourself.
Well, the other thing is I care about being the favorite. I don't think my brother cares at all. I think he's like, yeah.
So you
okay.
work at it.
Okay, but why? Yes.
You, but you're a politician.
Why do you?
I feel like I want to be the favorite, and I feel like growing up I was so jealous that I wasn't the favorite.
Okay.
And my parents would swear up and down that it was equal, but my brother was like always coming home with an award. He was like straight A's. He was just, you could tell that he was like the golden boy, and I was always like, why can't that be me? And then as soon as I was like, okay, well, I might not do as good in school, but I am outgoing and I can kind of make more relationships with people, I was like, I'll just do that. And then it totally worked. And now I'm like, well, it's great being the favorite. I love it.
Know your strengths, Pat.
Angelina, real quick, how old are you?
23.
Okay. So you're still young enough where this matters. I would worry if you told me you were 40 and you're like, so do Angelina, thank you for the call. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, have a good one.
Does that ever wear off, wanting to be the favorite?
Gosh, I guess I never thought of that. Or actively trying to be as an adult.
Would that bother you if your spouse was actively trying to be their parents' favorite kid?
Yeah, like, what's the point? What are you trying to win here?
I think that might happen more than you think, especially, again, like, the more siblings you have, the more that competition may never leave you. And once
sad.
Grandkids show up, you know that becomes a factor.
I mean, I never tried. It mattered to me when I was a kid. My dad used to do this really effed up thing, man.
Try to pit each other, right? Like, pit you against each other?
I don't know if he realized he was doing
it. That's what the Kennedys did.
So my dad would keep the pictures of us, like the wall of pictures, remember, from like football or whatever.
Yeah.
The four of us in his wall.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about this. This is pretty demented.
And depending on who was like doing better at the time and whatever we were doing, that would be the kid that would be the first in his wallet when he opened it up.
That's the Joe Kennedy
theory. He did like
theory.
A reveal every week. Like, but today's top child is
Ryan
Duffy for the second week in a row.
No, I do remember when Ryan made the front the first time, and I'm like, I didn't know that I cared about it.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, what?
You saw it.
What the hell is this? But like I don't think since I've like graduated high school I've cared, or maybe that's because I didn't think I ever had a shot to get back into the number one slot.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just happy with my
Well, you also
bronze
have a weird
medal.
Relationship right. with your dad, too.
Yeah, but I mean, not so much my mom. I don't know. Like, I'd like to be my mom's favorite. Mom.
Does your mom play favorites, though? Like, would she ever even admit to who was
her
favorite?
No, and my dad wouldn't admit that he had a favorite either, right?
Unless you're looking in through his wallet.
I really hope he didn't do that intentionally, because that's really
it. Sounds like he did.
Well, no, I mean,
but he moved the photos around.
He's never been as much as I bust my dad's balls. He's not.
And you do.
He's not mean spirited.
No, I.
I could see him
yeah.
doing this as like he doesn't realize. Yes, he didn't realize what he was doing.
Yeah.
Oh. You know what? It's funny too, because we got a bunch of people writing us. We got Instagram messages coming in. Leanne writes us. Nope, I can't.
Go that bad, huh?
Well, no, she asked me not to say, and then it happened.
Oh,
so then I didn't read the first part. Let's go to somebody else then.
Who's that?
On Instagram, sorry. Jacob writes, not always the favorite, but the youngest gets more attention than anybody else.
Well, that's Kimmy's theory, because like by that time, the other kids are kind of on their own. And all the attention. I got the most attention from my parents because there was such a big gap, and my father had money at that point.
Okay.
So I got spoiled. Where my brothers and sisters still to this day bring up how spoiled I was compared to when my dad was starting out.
Sure, but I would also argue the kid that's spoiled can easily become your least favorite kid.
And that was me.
Okay, so there you go. Like, yes, I'm giving you the attention, but the attention I'm giving you is giving you personality traits that make me not make you not my favorite.
And
child.
And it used to piss them off that I didn't appreciate it.
Yeah, that's every parent, Dick.
Right. But like
the sacrifices I make, I give and I give and I give.
But my brothers and sisters saw that and would get really pissed off. And I was a smug jerk.
What?
I mean, I'm not now.
No, yeah, you grew out of that.
Yeah, thank God.
Do you think, though, between, you know, parents, it varies?
Oh, good question.
Because I also have a theory
two different kids.
A lot of the times the oldest is dad's favorite because dad spends more time with the oldest. Because, like, I remember my brother, like, if you look at our home movies, like, my brother is constantly with my mom because he was a really, really fussy baby.
You hear what she's doing now out that he was a favorite?
Like, my dad.
I want to tell you, he pooped his pants all the time.
He did. He pooped his pants in line at Disney World. We never got to go on some of the rides. I'm just saying.
Right.
But I think as a little kid, I spent the most time, more time with my dad than my mom because my dad was always trying to occupy me. While my mom was, like, struggling with a baby. So, like, I think, like, oldest spends more time with dad most of the time.
But your brother is absolutely your dad's favorite.
But they didn't get along when he was a teenager.
But that's like, just normal teenage stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, true. But I think that, you know, I didn't have as much tension with my dad as my brother did growing up.
Okay. Right now, who's the favorite?
Oh, it's a blow.
Come on. Why are you really pausing? Are you really pausing? The two of us can admit. Yesterday, you don't want to admit you're dumb. Yeah. Today, you don't want to admit
but
you're not
the
favorite.
Thing, like that tension never left their relationship.
Okay,
like they get along, but there are still like these arguments they'll go on over stupid stuff that gets so heated they don't talk to each
other.
But
wouldn't you
bit.
Also do that if you weren't always stoned?
What?
If you weren't always stoned.
No, I just know
like
when
you're
it's,
mellow because
no.
You
here's
know,
here's the difference. I know now that it's not a battle. It's a battle not worth fighting. You know what I mean? All like, right. I would argue with him, but I'm like, he's not going to get it anyways, so I'm just not going to bother. Whereas my brother will fight to the death over whatever point he's trying to make.
We'll finish it up with this message. I think this surmises a nice summary. Three kids in my house were all believers in a pecking order. Firstborn, middle child, third was the baby. Firstborn had the highest expectations, the least amount of freedom. The baby of the family had all the freedom in the world. The middle child is a huge fan of the break room. So what does that say?
Oh, yeah.
Not the favorite, that's for sure.
Yes.
All right, let's take a break. Everybody listening, you are your parents' favorite. Unless you're listening with one of your siblings, in which case, they're their favorite. This is going to be a food investment.
Oh.
If you go this route, it might be the most expensive meal you have all year.
Mm.
And it's a roll of the dice hoping it would be worth it.
Yeah.
Because you really wouldn't know until you got there.
Mm.
And even if the food is amazing, there are other factors that can have you walking out, even walking in, feeling like you made a mistake.
Oh, wow.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. Easter is right around the corner.
Yeah.
And one of the best parts of Easter is Easter brunch.
Yeah.
Folks do it at home. But if you're looking to go out,
yeah.
The Democrat Chronicle has you covered.
Oh, what do they got?
Well, yesterday, they put out 9 spots for Easter brunch buffets. Buffets.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can eat.
In the Rochester area. And it's a list of headliners, man. We're talking places like the Woodcliff, the Strathallan, Red Fidelis, Eagle Vale.
Reds.
That's right, bud. And the menus at these places.
Oh, yeah.
Mwah, chef's kiss. There is a massive draw to Easter brunch compared to other holiday meals like Christmas dinner and Thanksgiving. Because with Thanksgiving and Christmas, you've got all day to get it ready.
Yeah, true.
If someone in your family is having everyone over for brunch, your ass got to be out of bed at like 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
This is breakfast.
You're setting an alarm.
Also, Easter is not a standard designated cook holiday.
No, it's a floating holiday, really. I mean, as far as what you're going to do.
Right?
There's no set traditions.
Yeah. Like, for you to have to cook, for you to cook Christmas or Thanksgiving dinner, someone has to die.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they hand over the reins.
Yeah. So, Easter brunch being taken care of you, being taken care of for you at a joint. Sounds like a great idea.
Oh, yeah, and it's all you can eat, bro.
There is just one small, massive problem.
What's the problem?
The cost of Easter brunch is freaking insane.
So do you have some prices?
I do. So in this article of the 9 places, the lowest price to get Easter brunch.
This is per head?
Yep, $42.
Holy Christ,
that's the lowest one of all of them. On the high end, the Woodcliff hits you $79 a person.
That's a cruise.
The Strath and the Lake House hits you $85.
That's the Canandaigua joint.
Yeah. The lakefront.
Oh, lakefront.
Yeah. Really nice.
Looking at water.
Really nice.
And 80, here's, would you say 85?
85 at the Strathallan.
So what's the cut? Do I get a break on kid?
So if you have, like, if it's like under 10, the age changes.
But like your kids are above the strike line.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, they are. If you got someone over like 12, 10
that
or 12.
That discount no longer exists.
Exactly. Yeah. You got to talk your kids into lying for you. Have that whole little discussion when they ask you. You're 10.
Yes.
When I go out to lunch with my dad, I'm still 10.
Mm-hmm. To this day.
Yeah, it's crazy. And here's the other thing.
Yeah.
At that $85 a head, it's not like you're going by yourself, like you said.
You're taking the crew.
Yeah. So let's say you got a family of four. You're at $130 minimum, close to $400 for the premium experience.
Premium tip, alcohol.
So you could be a five.
$500?
Well, premium tip, 20% of $400 is.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Right? Is it worth it?
No.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. So you're not even going to think about it. It's not worth it.
I mean, what am I getting?
So, I mean,
I know it's nice, but.
I mean, it could be the best meal you have all year.
God, I hope so.
Kimmy?
Yeah.
$85 a head. Worth it?
I guess I don't think that I would feel like I got my money's worth. Like, I don't know if I can eat $85 worth of food.
Oh, no, I've gone to buffets with you. You can eat $85.
You think it's $85 worth, though? Like, whereas those other places, you're getting the same stuff for half the price almost.
That's a good point.
Okay.
When I go for, let's say, the $85 one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What am I expecting to see there? But if I don't see, I'm pissed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because if I see, like just the standards and it's $85, there better be some outrageous as high-end food.
No,
you need to get something special, a unique special, something where, that I'm craving that I can only get there.
Hey, I don't want to see ziti in a salad.
Okay, I didn't save the article like an idiot, so they had the menus on there. No, I'm saying like,
what do you want to see?
There was like the Lake House had some really, really, really high-end stuff, like seafood stuff, prime rib.
All right, so then I'm getting my money's worth.
But even at $85 a head.
But at least I got something. If I don't see, I'll tell you what. I don't see a freaking shrimp on this table. I'm losing my crap.
If I'm paying $85, I do want shrimp.
Better be a carving station.
Yeah, obviously.
And it better be a beef carving station. I don't want turkey. I don't want pork roll.
Pork roll's good.
I want to see prime time prime rib carving station.
I think the ultimate kick in the scrot.
Yeah.
Let's say you go to one of these premium places like the Woodcliff, the Strath, the Lakers, and you drop $400 or $500 after tip and drinks.
Mm.
You don't get leftovers because it's all you can eat there.
Yes.
You would have to feel like a sucker when you're making dinner after a $500 brunch.
Yeah.
Right?
No kidding.
Right? 252 WCMF. Again, article in the Democrat and Chronicle yesterday. 9 places to go get Easter brunch. And the dinners run the gambit. Lunches, brunches, I'm sorry. Mm. From $42 all the way up to $85 per person. The bigger issue is not the cost.
What is that?
Because here's the thing. You as a family, a close family, can decide this is worth it for us, this is not worth it for us. You know, quick discussion with your spouse. When it comes to Easter brunch, it's rarely just your immediate family.
Wait, I've got to drag your mother?
Well, look, I mean, families like to spend Easter together.
But yeah, I've been to an Easter brunch where it wasn't at least a little bit of the extended family.
Well, they got to pony up.
Okay, but that's the problem.
Granny. Break out the Social Security money. Let's go.
Face?
First of all, she doesn't get Social Security anymore. She's
got
to walk down there and go get her check. That's not going to happen.
She's got some Kodak stash. Let's go.
Yeah, have you checked what that's worth now?
No, you got. If I got to take more.
You're going to make your grandmother pay.
Yeah, at these prices, yes.
At these prices, Granny. Bro, well, she can't afford $85.
What about her parents? Let's say you're the breadwinner.
Mm-hmm.
And your wife goes, well, you know, I want my mother and father to come.
Okay.
They're in town.
Yeah, no, I think the classy thing to do would be to look at your father-in-law and go, hey, you're paying too. You wouldn't have the balls to do it. You wouldn't.
And let's say he goes high-end on the booze, too.
Ooh. Well, yeah, it's Easter. I mean, he's not driving.
Yeah.
You're driving. Why
don't you try one of them craft beers I've been hearing about? $12 a can.
Hey, you got to give me Johnny Walker, but a color I've never seen
yes,
before.
Yes, yes.
I mean, look, man.
Give me, I've been hearing about that Japanese whiskey. Here's pretty good.
It's easy to sit here and say they're going to pay for
it. It would piss you off, though.
When that check gets dropped.
It's yours.
You, me, no man would have the balls to look at his father-in-law and mother-in-law and go, give me some money.
But it's got to eat away like ass cancer on you.
God.
Yes. Don't you think? Because it would stick with you all day, especially if they go back to your house and they go, what's for dinner?
You got to have another meal.
Hey, wait, are we going to order out some pizza tonight?
No, that's not the biggest problem. Right. Because I think it is. Someone with even a little bit of class would offer to pay when prices that expensive. The bigger problem is if your entire family wanted to get together, because, Kimmy, you see, like, you know, mother, father, all the siblings,
aunts,
all
uncles,
their kids.
Cousins.
Yeah, like you got a big extended family.
I do.
Yeah.
You would have to find a place on this list.
They can even seat you.
Okay, that they can do because these places are massive. Where everybody agrees on what they are willing to spend. Because the fact of the matter is, no family is at the same economic level throughout every sibling.
So then you would have to have that discussion.
Yes.
And which is awkward.
And somebody is always going to argue for the least amount.
And the chintzies are going to win because you're going to feel bad if you're eating over their head.
But you call them chintzies. You just said you ain't paying $85 for a meal. You're the chintzy.
I'm not chintz on myself.
Chintzy Tom. That's all I got.
No, but I don't chintz on myself, but I will chintz on others.
Do not chintz on others as you would chintz on yourself.
Yeah, it's in the Bible.
So you're saying you wouldn't pay for somebody else if it was that much, but you're willing to go and pay if it's just like, if you're just covering your own meal.
Yeah, but if I had to pay for somebody else, I would pay it, I would be quiet, but it would stick with me. It would bother me, especially if they didn't even appreciate it.
Okay.
Like, they just feel like, you know, people feel entitled. They do.
Oh, I'm sorry. Everyone buckle up. Here comes old man rant again.
These entitled millennials that come in here, you know, they want all their fancy, you know, YouTube food that they see on the Food Network.
YouTube foods?
YouTube on the Food Network.
Give me the Bobby Flay spare ribs.
That's coming from the
Korean
guy
sauce.
Who will sit here during the commercial breaks and ask Pat and I, because he follows so many food blogs and food accounts, that you will ask us if we have ever heard of certain foods because that's all you're looking at on social media.
And I quote, would you eat? 252-WCMF, folks have been waiting patiently. We're talking about an article in the DNC yesterday. 9 places to have Easter brunch buffets. And the prices they're up there.
Yeah.
On the low end, you're looking at $42 of the places per person that they named. The high end, the most premium events at the Woodcliff, the Strathallen, at the Lake House of Canandaigua, you're looking at anywhere between $79 to $85 per person pre-tip. Let's talk to Mike. Hey, Mikey, how are you, buddy?
Hey, wonderful. On my way to work.
Yeah.
All right. What's up, man?
If I've got pony up $85 for a meal, I'm going to hit that buffet like John Panette, and I'm not going to have to eat until Wednesday.
Okay. So that's the other problem. And, Mike, I'm with you, man. I have that same mentality.
Yeah, I want to get my money's worth.
But, Mike, we're going to eat ourselves into physical pain.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
No, but you're spending $85.
And you have to blow out your colon.
Yes. Like,
what's your point?
All right.
My grandmother always used to tell me, you can't eat the money.
Yeah, but she had dementia at that point, didn't she, Mike? No, Mike, let me tell you a story. So the exact situation Tommy painted happened to me for Mother's Day a couple of years ago. My mother-in-law was in town. We went to this really nice brunch, and I was unaware of what it cost. Mm-hmm. And when I found out when we got there, Mike, I did exactly what you said. I am eating more than what I am spending here. And the rest of the day, I wanted to die. So all I did was spend a fortune to be in absolute agony for the rest of the day.
Well, yeah, but for the next 2 days, you're going to be full.
Okay.
So who cares?
Yeah, Mike, look, man.
You got to give a little, take a little.
All right. Mike, good theory. Thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
And the other thing is, like, let's say you go to one of these high-end joints, and now we got to, like, split the bill. Mm. That's also a pain in the ass. Because now we got to itemize who had what, where, when, why.
The good news here is everybody's $85. The bad news is you're going to get an argument about how much you're tipping.
And the alcohol. If somebody wants to have a beer,
good. I didn't think
the
about
mimosas, the Bloody Marys.
Yeah.
You know, if only one or two people are driving, everybody's hitting the bar.
Yeah, you're right.
Because the alcohol will crush you.
Are there families, though, that this isn't a problem for them because they go to the same place every time so they know what to
expect?
But
even Pat said those places have gone up in price.
Well, sure.
To Kimmy's point.
But if that's the expectation.
Well, I remember when it was $25 in this place. You got a limitless mimosa.
No, like one of the favorite days, my favorite days of the year when I was a kid, my family, my mom's side of the family, all of us, we would go to the Gateway Party House. It was on East Henry Road. It was a church now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was our Easter thing, and then we moved it over to the Holodome for a couple of years, right? But I remember, as great as those meals were, and it was like the greatest food I ever seen when I was a kid, it was just like ham and eggs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was breakfast, really.
Exactly. So, yes, we had our tradition, and we all fell into that, but there was a time
There was a time.
Thank you. Where eventually that stopped, and I don't know who in the family was like, I don't want to spend this money.
Yeah. So it just ended.
But somebody must have said that.
Tapped out.
Yeah, because it doesn't just happen.
No.
God, I missed the... What was it? Was it the Gatehouse, Gateway Party House? What was it?
Is it the one by the airport?
No, you're thinking that was the Party House.
Yes, yes, yes.
How did you mess up the Party House name, the Party House?
I forgot. I don't eat
What's the name of the Party House?
I don't eat West Side much.
You think it was called the Gateway Party House?
Gatehouse Gateway. It's a church now. It's on West Henrietta Road between the Wendy's and the Burger King. I live around the corner from it. So, like, as we have this discussion, in reality, Easter can bring pressure that isn't really necessary.
Yeah.
Because, like...
It's a sacrifice, and who wants to sacrifice on Easter?
He came back on Easter. Sacrifice is Good Friday.
Well, it's, the whole weekend sucked.
Not that... When it comes to the pressure...
Yeah.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, dinner are important, not just for the holiday and the family time, but also because there isn't anywhere else to get food those days.
Yeah, everything's closed.
You got it. If you don't have a meal planned...
You
got
to go Chinese.
Bingo.
That's
Easter,
it.
Easter, there are still plenty of restaurants you can go and eat.
Yeah.
And it's not like ham is hard to make yourself if you wanted to. And like if you're going to do the at-home thing, which is... You know, less expensive.
So, like, let's say somebody you're going to somebody's house and they're going to make Easter brunch.
Yeah, like, my brother makes Easter brunch.
But it's always...
That may be the most difficult meal to host, just based on you want to eat the food right as it's ready to go, right as it's hot. And, you're right, it's tough to serve it that way.
And you'll always have dry scrambled eggs. There's no way to serve them properly. To Kimmy's point, they're going to sit...
Unless, like, you're getting
out.
Them right off the
And you
pan.
Don't.
That's why you go quiche, bro.
Quiche is kind of a weird meal, though. Because, like, people chintz out when they do the quiche. Because if they do the quiche, they cut back on other things.
Chintzy quiche was one of the most successful French pies during World War II. How do you chintz on a quiche?
No, you don't. You get the quiche.
No, I'm talking
But then they chintz on the other stuff.
No,
so
make
they cut
your own
back
quiche.
On the other sides.
You just make your own quiche.
By the way, who wants to make a quiche?
My brother's family. There's always a homemade quiche.
They're Italian, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, I think it's
I don't want a quiche with, you know, sauce and pepperoni.
It's also tough
I think
to
that's called a meat pie.
Are you sure that's a bad idea?
I don't know.
It's also tough to do, like, pancakes or waffles. You know what I mean? Because, again, you're kind of getting them cold.
Or burnt.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
It's a very difficult meal to cook.
Well, if you're making the pancakes, you can't burn them. You're probably an expert in the pancake
you
area.
You are. Not you are when you're making a couple, not when you're making 12 or 15.
Okay.
Now you're a restaurant.
Well, listen, we gave you all the information we can give you to try and make an informed decision on what you want to do for Easter. And if you go to one of these brunches, I am dying to know, like, these high-end places.
I want to see what you get.
Well, I just want to know, like, if we could, like, stand there with a microphone and talk to everybody on the way out. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? Was it worth it?
Oh, yeah.
Because, look, I, as expensive as it is, like, one time, I'm not opposed to just trying it.
Giving it a go.
Yeah, if people are like, oh, yeah, it was well worth it.
Well, you also get an ice sculpture and string music.
Can we talk about the ice sculpture?
Yeah.
Why?
Because that's the way you feel fancy. Like you're on the Titanic or something.
Yeah, that one ice sculpture buried the Titanic.
But, yeah, and you're going to get some kid with a violin in the corner. The worst one is the harp.
I like harp. You don't like harp?
Who likes a harp?
It's very relaxing. Bing, bong, bing, bong, bing.
I always think I'm dying. Like, I think a harp like going to heaven.
Yeah, bro, you ain't going to hear a harp when you're dying, bro.
What am I going to hear?
You won't hear anything. It'll be a pitchfork, ass, etc. You think you're going to hear a harp.
So either way, I'll enjoy myself.
It'll just be some guy making fart noises into his hand.
Joe Teaser?
Yeah, he'll also be there. Cruise can be a fun vacation.
Oh, yeah. Come on. You get away. Fun in the sun, man.
But here's what sucks about taking a cruise in Rochester.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to go, you got to get on a plane. You got to get a hotel the night before.
You got to get to the coast, baby. You got to get to the salt water, baby.
Florida, Texas, Mississippi, whatever. Mm-hmm. What if I told you could have a cruise vacation an hour's drive away?
Where did they move the ocean?
You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5 WCMF. Story coming just west of us.
What happened?
Back in 2022. Tommy, there was a speculation that a company was ready to start a cruise service that would stop in ports along the Great Lakes.
Okay.
Oh, I actually thought this existed already.
Now, maybe it does exist.
So like a luxury cruise ship.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Mm. So the ship itself can hold up to 200 people. You sleep on the ship, trips on these boats.
Busted out of the sea.
Trips on these boats cost up to $5,000 a person.
Five grand?
It's got to be a pretty long cruise, I'd guess.
And here's the thing. I don't have much information about it. If there is anyone that's tried these, 252-WCMF, 252-9263, the reason this is in the news right now is currently, as far as I understand, New York does not have a port for one of these boats to dock.
Oh, my goodness.
And Buffalo has a study underway to see if their port on Lake Erie
can handle one of these busted cruises.
Can handle one of these cruises. Mm. Yes.
You're calling it busted, but it's $5,000, so it can't be that busted.
It's so busted I can't afford it.
Yeah. You put that price tag on
it. It's the only cruise ship with outboard motors.
Okay. You wouldn't want to go on a Great Lakes cruise?
No, man. We've toured the Great Lakes. We did comedy. What interesting port do you want to see? Cleveland?
Okay, so like think about it.
Toledo?
Let's say you can make stops in Toronto, Buffalo, Cleveland, Detroit, and Chicago. That wouldn't be a week and a half long vacation that would be worth it?
Bro, you could drive to those cities and enjoy those cities anytime you want.
Aren't there like islands that people vacation at in like Michigan, off of Michigan?
Up in the Uper?
Like, and there's one that's like a... what is it called? It's right off the coast of Ohio.
Put In Bay.
That's it.
Which I've been to. Is nothing but a douchey party sandbar.
Okay, but...
you're describing where you go on vacation every year.
Florida?
Yeah.
But there are those little like vacation spots along the way.
But I don't know if you stop at those. I mean, again, I don't think a cruise ship can pull up to a little island.
Okay.
If it can't pull into Buffalo.
Look, I don't have much information.
What would you see?
What do you mean?
Like when you pull off, when you go to the Caribbean, you know, you're on the islands.
Yeah.
They accommodate you. Right?
Yeah.
What are you going to get when you get off the boat in Toledo? Or Detroit?
I don't think Toledo. Let's leave Toledo out of
it.
It's going
to be like a cutout of Gordie Howe you can take a picture with.
Bro, Detroit's a blast of a city. Cleveland's a blast of a city. Chicago's a blast of a city. Toronto. Well, actually, all of these cities, Toronto, Buffalo, Cleveland, Detroit, Chicago, are like my favorite cities in America to go travel. And you know this.
I like these cities.
But it sucks.
I don't need a cruise experience.
Why?
Because like a lot of the time you're going to be on that boat just in the middle of the Great Lakes.
Okay.
But I guess a lot of the time you can make that argument for any.
Here comes a cement barge.
You could make that argument for any cruise you go on. You're going to be out in the water on a boat.
Yeah, whether you're in the ocean or whether you're in the Great Lakes, if you can't see land, what's it different?
But when you're on the ocean, man, you're going to someplace cool and exciting. Nobody gets their nips hard going to Detroit.
I love Detroit. My nips get super hard when I get to go to Detroit.
Well, that's because you met a biker gang.
I did meet a biker gang. 252-WCMF. Kimmy, let's say you could go on a $1,200 7-day cruise.
Uh-huh.
Toronto, Buffalo, Cleveland, Detroit,
We're
Chicago.
We're talking summertime.
Summertime,
at least.
Yes. Sure. Would you go?
Yeah. That sounds like it would be fun.
I love this idea.
Would you, okay.
Stopping at a bunch of cities. I've never been to Chicago.
You've never been to Chicago?
No. I mean, I've flown in, but I've never spent time in Chicago.
They put pickles on hot dogs. She's not into it.
Right. But would you listen to somebody brag about their Great Lakes trip? Because like, if you took a cruise like you know through the Caribbean, or you took one of those Alaskan cruises, or you took like a West Coast, Hawaii or places like that, or down the Mexican Riviera, you would brag about those things. So if I came back, I go, bro, I went to Detroit. I had me a burger with sauteed onions. And you know what they do now?
What's that?
Warm mushrooms on it. Ain't never seen a fungus on a mushroom.
Let me put it this way.
Right.
Whether you are bragging about your Great Lakes cruise or your cruise down the Mexican Riviera or your cruise to Cozumel, I don't care about any of
them. Right, but this
No, it's all the same to me.
Oh, look, another beach.
Yeah, wow, it's the same.
And you're gonna pull into these like industrial ports, and you're going to be watching offload fentanyl and
offload fentanyl.
Great Lakes fentanyl port,
you idiot.
And like fertilizer, and don't get them mixed up.
I would argue you're getting more culture.
Where?
252-WCMF again. We're talking about how Buffalo...
Teamsters control the waterfront?
Buffalo has a study underway to see if it can be a port for these cruise ships that are apparently going to start setting sail throughout the Great Lakes. Mm. It'll be Great Lakes tours. Toronto, Chicago, Cleveland, Buffalo, Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
If you go on a trip to Cozumel, all you see are people that are there to wait on you hand and foot.
That sounds like a vacation.
The point I'm making is this.
All right.
People that say, I've been to Mexico, and they go, I went on a cruise and stopped at Cozumel. No, you haven't. You went to a place where a bunch of people are like, oh, yeah, give me your money. And that's every cruise you go on. If you go on a cruise this way, you at least get to authentically experience these American cities.
You get to hear the real people.
It's true.
the real Detroiters. Pew, pew, pew. By the way, very dangerous city.
None of these cities are dangerous cities.
Detroit!
Detroit! I walked around drunk by myself at 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's because you're not worth
nights.
Shooting. Because you're already shooting your goddamn mouth off. You're like an AK-47 of bad jokes.
I literally got drunk with a biker gang. I'm here.
Can you take excursions?
Like, for example?
Well, you know, usually they have like a little like excursion. Right?
Yeah.
Like maybe like one day when you pull into Chicago and you could tour the wine country of Gary, Indiana.
We go to the Jackson 5 house.
There you go. Quickly.
I mean, it's funny because this is like right up your alley. This sounds like an old person trip.
This sounds like everything I do when I'm... But this is everything I did when I was on the road that had no money.
Okay, and that's what I mean. Like, I get why you look at it this way, because your act sucked and nobody wanted you in these cities.
You had that experience, whereas I'm guessing a lot of people your age haven't.
You should go.
She said she wanted to.
No, you
literally said I would go.
Yeah, you haven't seen
Not
Chicago.
For $5,000, but...
And here's the thing. We are spoiled here in this country, and I've said this 1,000 times, because if you were to take a trip like this, the distance you would travel in Europe, you would hit 5 different countries.
Absolutely.
Right? Our country is so big... Those 5 different cities you stop in, you are going to get 5 different cultures.
Yeah, completely different experiences in history. What? I'm agreeing with you.
You can't even agree with me without a stupid-ass smirk on your face, you dumb-ass bitch.
And all you would do is go to a stupid baseball game.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
That's what you do when you visit those cubs.
Let's go.
What are you talking about?
You can do that anywhere. It's not like
you can't. I can't go to that ballpark. It only exists
there.
You can
go down to New York and watch the Mets suck.
I want to go to Wrigley. I want to go to New Tiger Stadium.
Oh, look at that.
Okay, that one's not as fun. But you get what I'm saying.
All right.
God, you're an idiot.
Americana, baby.
It is Americana. It is. Do you not love this country?
No, I do. I like to see where we lost all of our industry.
Yeah.
The hollow shell of America along the rusted lakes.
It's funny you bring that up. The second he showed up, Kodak craps the bed. Almost.
You know what? It would be kind of funny, though.
Ooh, nothing on this trip. How about the busted axe you get?
You'd have...
That would suck.
Like,
the comedian on a Great Lakes cruise. Sure. Oh, wait, I got it right here. It's Tommy Boulay.
I think you'd have to start in a place like Buffalo. Because going to all those cities and then hitting like Buffalo last may be kind of disappointing for some people.
No, I think it would be like a nice off-speed pitch. Like if you had Toronto last. No, because look.
Well, Toronto's a major international city.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Buffalo would be like the nice down-homey.
Yeah, but like.
Off-speed.
You know.
Check it out.
Bills aren't playing. No hockey.
Go to Pilot Field, catch a Bison's game.
I can see the sinking World War II relics they have in
there. I love that museum. I want to go back.
You better get there now.
They fixed it now.
Did they?
Kind of.
Probably. I don't know.
Buffalo did what the Germans couldn't. Sink, you bastards.
All right, let's take a break.